Welcome to the Enterprise Strategy Program Monthly Briefing. As part of the Enterprise Strategy Program, we are providing you a series of briefings on business and industry opportunities, technology trends, and Microsoft's take on strategic points of view on impact topics chosen by our customer. Today's presentation, Designing IoT Solutions Using Microsoft Azure, presented by Steve Fox, Senior Director, Microsoft. Steve, you now have the floor.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Welcome everybody to this presentation. Designing IoT solutions using Microsoft Azure. As Chris mentioned, my name is Steve Fox. I work in Microsoft Services here in Microsoft. I run a team of global architects who do a lot of work in the space of Azure. And this, you could see this session is really bringing together the technology with the business. It's going to be level 200. I'm not going to be diving into code. I'm happy to take any discussions offline that you'd like to take offline and kind of run through some deeper level code analyses or architectural patterns. But it really is bringing these two areas of business and technology together around the space of IoT. So that said, I've broken up the presentation into three or four parts. I wanted to start with kind of a getting started session, just kind of setting the baseline of what is this thing called IoT from a Microsoft perspective. Most of you should know what Azure is, but I will talk a little bit about Azure, excuse me, and then we'll kind of dive into a little more around IoT, solution design, and talking a bit about it from a strategic perspective. We do have an IoT practice internal. So we are looking at IoT solutions on a day-to-day basis and working with customers from a range of solutions and industries. So it's a very interesting time to get integrated with the space of IoT. What you're seeing here on the slide are basically a couple of books and a recent Harvard Business Review magazine that really dives into the Internet of Things. And if you're just getting started in this space, I found these helpful to recommend to people to kind of read through to really get ramped up on what this space, the potential is from a business perspective, and of course, getting into some of the technical details as well. Some of the machine-to-machine to Internet of Things, in that book it gets a little more cross-platform and very technical, but they are good books to kind of get you started. Now that said, if we were to start at the beginning and define Internet of Things from, you know, kind of an internal perspective, how do we see the space of IoT? We've snapped to the Gartner definition just so at least we have a common starting point. And that is the network of physical objects that contain embedded technology to communicate and interact with their internal states or the external environment. Now that's a fairly broad definition. But at least it gives us a starting point where we can begin to start from a place of definition and grow out. And what you'll see as we go through this presentation is as we grow out, we actually do get more discrete, whether it's vertical, whether it's technology. So you do get into these situations where scenarios and situations become very interesting and very specific. But that said, this is where we start. A couple of slides here on worldwide revenue opportunity. You know, IoT at this stage of the game, this is not necessarily a new concept. The way in which we're implementing and gathering and analyzing data obviously is new in terms of technological platform that sits behind it. But IoT has actually been around as a concept for a while, and there's a lot of implementations out there in legacy systems. And so when we think about the revenue opportunity moving forward, there's lots of opportunity around a number of different industries. So for example, here you can see, you know, banking, for example, 154 billion, 913 billion for manufacturing and so on and so forth, 4.6 trillion as you get towards 2018. Now those are monumental numbers and really requires an understanding of your own industry and what's happening in your industry to really get down to a finite number to think about in the context of a specific vertical. Again, these are pretty big numbers. And so the question becomes, if we dive into specific verticals or areas, you know, can we see more specific numbers in terms of gain? This is an interesting slide that describes from a GE study kind of what I call the rule of 1%. If you were to take 1% and apply it to savings in different segments, you get different valuations on those savings. So, for example, here, commercial flights, 1% fuel savings would reap, 30 billion, in savings over a course of 15 years. If you look at energy, again, 1%, 66 billion. And so there's quite a few of these different segments we've looked at to get these 1% reductions or cost efficiencies. But the point is, you can see on the right-hand side as you roll through them, there's quite a significant valuation of savings as you think about these different segments. And so the point is, as you look at this space of IoT, cost efficiency is absolutely one of the key conversations we're having with customers today. A lot of times it's where we start the conversation. Now, here it says why the Internet of Things matters, and there's four particular areas. But I'll tell you, two of which we regularly engage in when we're sitting down with customers that are very, very important. So while insight and agility is very important, while building competitive edge is very important, those are fairly standard, and customers are trying to find multiple ways to do those particular things. When it comes to cost and operational inefficiencies, trying to reduce those or at least make them a little more optimal, and even think about building new service models, this is where you begin to get into how IoT as a tool or a platform or a practice or a process can really begin to shift the way in which customers and companies are acting and implementing business models today. And so really what's interesting as we go out as a practice into the field and as we sit with customers, sometimes we find that it's a very technical discussion and we're driving towards what we call architectural design sessions, where we're actually sitting with customers, whiteboarding platform descriptions of what they're trying to implement. But on the other hand, there's other customers where we're sitting with defining what their new business models are because they're absolutely shifting into, let's say, service provider models. Now, what does that mean to become a service provider? It might mean that you've got manufacturing companies that want to get into new businesses such as digital shopping experiences. That requires a fundamental shift in business, and IoT can help pivot that shift. But the point is, it really requires a customer and a company to sit down and rethink how are they making money? How do they have to restructure their business? A whole set of kind of strategic and business discussions have to happen to enable that shift. So the interesting thing is, again, there's four boxes here, but really it's cost optimization and optimization of inefficiencies and building new service provider models that, at least in my experience, I'm seeing more and more of those discussions. And I'll talk a bit about some specific vertical examples as we get through this presentation, and you'll begin to see how specific verticals may actually shift and have very, very interesting service provider models that'll really flip the way we think about business today in any number of paradigms. So let's move forward here. Really just a tip of the hat on Microsoft Azure, right? Again, IoT solutions really heavily leverage the cloud, and there's any number of services that you can use within the Azure platform to drive and implement. And I don't want to make this discussion about all the different services and how you implement. I think given this is a 200 level, discussion, we want to keep it fairly high level. We can take it offline if you want to go deeper. But the goal of this is really to keep this at the 200 level. But the point is, the backdrop, the technical backdrop of IoT for Microsoft in large part is this thing called Microsoft Azure, which is our cloud platform. And you can see from the right-hand side of this slide that really there's multiple pieces that come together within this platform. There's platform as a service, there's infrastructure as a service, there's the ability to tie this back to your on-premises system. And of course, there's all sorts of way to deploy, both from a Microsoft.NET standpoint and also from, non-Microsoft languages, open source languages. And so there's lots of ways in which you can build and deploy IoT solutions using Microsoft Azure. One thing I'll do is just quickly share my desktop here and kind of walk through the platform here at a very, very high level. My hope is because I'm looking and seeing mostly people who work at Microsoft on the actual call, Most of you will be familiar. But if you're not, this is the Microsoft Azure Management Console. You can see down the left-hand side, there's all sorts of services. Now, the key thing to take away from this quick demo would be all these different services, whether they're platform as a service services or whether the infrastructure services, can come together in an architecture that you can use to deploy an IoT solution. And this is where you get into the idea of, how do you design an IoT solution? Well, you're going to potentially use different pieces of the platform. For example, you could use websites or virtual machines. You could use a mobile service. You could use a cloud service. Any number of pieces or these different discrete services could be put together in this pattern. Now, more interestingly, as we think about moving forward, you're going to see more and more people engage in areas like machine learning. So a service that gives you the ability to do predictive learning for your actual solutions. And so they learn over time. And I'll show you a little demo later on that shows you where we've implemented predictive learning in the context of an elevator scenario. And again, so each of these can come together for you to actually build out this IoT solution on Azure. Now, there's lots of technical sessions out there on Channel 9. If you look at the Tech Ed 2014, late last year, there's a few sessions that are out that describe how you can implement each of these services in discrete ways to build an IoT solution. And I'm happy to take that offline for people who want to do that. But again, this was just to give you a tip of the hat on what Microsoft Azure looks like. Here you can see the new portal. This is the old portal where I have most of the services engaged. And of course, you can go to azure.microsoft.com, WAC-EN-US, and you can get a free trial. And for those of you who have MSDN subscriptions, please go ahead and leverage that description or that subscription to get yourself set up. So let me go back. And I will get myself back into my desktop here. Here we go. All right, so let's jump back into the presentation, and I will get myself back into what I was just presenting. So again, Microsoft Azure is important to think about because it really is that technical backdrop to when you're designing these solutions. Now, the question then becomes, again, from a strategic perspective and from a design perspective, how do we think about applying all the pieces of Azure into the context of an IoT solution? Here you can see our approach. Now, there's lots of stuff in here, right? And so from the left to the right, you know, these three boxes, you can see, well, we've got, you know, devices that you may have on your network or in legacy systems that are emitting some sort of signal, let's call it, or data. And that could be very, very simple data, such as an on and an off, or it could be more complex where there's metadata associated with that data as well. And you can see the variety of things in the context of Internet of Things that are causing that data is multivariate as well, whether it's plant floor, back office, supply chain, and so on and so forth. As you move towards the right, you get into providing that data has to be put somewhere. And this is where you get into thinking about the different options of the Azure platform, right? And of course, there's table storage, blob storage, SQL databases, et cetera, all of which provide different measures of features, whether it's relational or non-relational, speed and performance, all these different features, cache, that provide you with the ability to store data in a certain way. Now, again, you're going to have requirements when you're designing your IoT solution, so you have to think about some of these, you know, the application of some of these services or features in different ways. But the point is, there's a lot of options there for you to choose from when you're taking data off of a thing or a device and putting it somewhere into the context of storage. And again, as you move across towards the right, you have to have some sort of message bus. Now, it could be a filtered message bus. It could be a message bus that's optimized for performance, so what we call Event Hub. Or it could be some sort of command and control, meaning we need to have some communication back to our device. Now, if you start to think about command and control, obviously that adds complexity in the design of your IoT solution. So you really do need to think about how you're implementing the parts of the platform to the requirements of your IoT solution. You know, standard software development practice and thinking, but there's lots of opportunity within the platform for you to leverage, building for your solution. Now, as you get into the right-hand side, here is where we get into, additional options. It could be, I just want to have a simple Power BI, Microsoft Excel spreadsheet that surfaces some information and allows my business analysts to have some actionable insight on the data coming from my devices. It could be as simple as that. Or it could be where you begin to build in classification models, predictive learning using some machine learning techniques, and then you have some automation built into the rules of the processing of your data. And then, or you can also use HD Insight. The point is, there's different ways in which you can add insights and actionable insights or learning into the context of this data flow. And so this is kind of our high-level approach, where you can leverage a lot of different pieces of the Azure platform to build out your IoT solution. Ones that may be just one way, meaning I'm taking data off a device and it's flowing into some sort of client, or it could be command and control, where you're moving some sort of command back to a device, either automatically or manual through some sort of admin console. Now, the question becomes, how does this kind of get into a notional architecture? If you think about translating the approach into something that's a little more tangible. Here I use the example of an elevator. A lot of the people I'm sure on the phone or out there have heard of the ThyssenKrupp example that we've been driving out there because we're working very closely with ThyssenKrupp on an IoT solution. Now, ThyssenKrupp is just one of many different customers that we're working with today. Here you can see as a device kind of a component, we're thinking about the elevator. We're thinking about secure data that's coming off of that elevator in different ways. It could be weight, it could be alarms, it could be location, it could be any number of pieces of data that are being pulled off of that elevator. Now, the interesting thing is when you think about an elevator, it's not just new elevators, it's the retrofitting of legacy systems as well. And so when you think about this broader IoT space and the actual device or this thing, you're not just talking about new things. And the retrofit of legacy systems, there's a fairly significant business there if you think about all of the stuff that's out there today that may not be instrumented. And here you can see that in some way, shape, or form, we need to get that data off of the device. We need to get it stored. We need to then take that storage and provide some rules. And you could see you could use cloud services, you could have, non-relational table storage. You could have a service bus that's moving that data through to a point where we have a custom web app that then surfaces some information from your ultimate elevators to provide actionable insight at the top end. Now, the thing is, as you're going through this process, you're going to be thinking about different design considerations, ones that are very, very important, and ones that may think or may make you think about certain things like security. So here you can see a lot of that right-hand side is sitting in the cloud. That's not to say that you couldn't connect that to an on-premises system. You absolutely could. And so you could have a hybrid architecture. But the point is, you have this flow of data coming from an elevator on the left-hand side that goes all the way over into the cloud using multiple pieces of the Azure platform to bring together and deploy an IoT solution. Now, some considerations. If you think about a device, as I mentioned, you may have a new device, but you also have legacy devices out there as well. And certainly with regard to ThyssenKrupp, we had a lot of legacy devices that are out there that they want to instrument. Further, you have to think about what data do you want to collect? What's the protocol by which you're going to be, wrapping that data in and sending along the wire? What's the method of connectivity? Certainly, if you think about connectivity when you're trying to drive data off of a vehicle, is going to be different if you have, a device that's potentially a static device that doesn't move, that's, potentially plugged into a wall. You may have a LAN connection. So the point is, there's different levels of connectivity you have to think about depending on the situation. Security is very, very important and cuts across almost every one of these boxes in a very discrete way. And so you want to make sure that that device is secure, the data is secure. And certainly you want to make sure you're using common obfuscation techniques or securing techniques to make sure that people can't hack into that particular device, especially when it comes to elevator, which can do harm to people, to make sure we're not only protecting the data, but we're protecting the device and the people in that device. And of course, command and control. Considerations also will go along when we think about the storage. Is it relational, non-relational? Do we persist it? Do we filter on the particular device such that we don't have to have mass amounts of storage such we increase our cost? How do we optimize the performance, et cetera, et cetera? Do we have to have some hybrid component, especially if you're thinking about geographical deployments? Because if you think about cloud in certain countries, data may not be able to reside outside the boundaries of those countries. And so you have to think about these requirements factoring into data storage and collection. Messaging and rules. So in this box, obviously there's a lot that could be put in this box. Is it cold, warm, or hot processing? Meaning, do we have to do real time or hot processing? Or can it be cold? Can we kind of just have, every so often be looking at the data and moving it along the service bus or the messaging route to then manage it in the way that we need to manage it from the analytics layer? Are there any business rules or automation that we have to think about? Again, security and machine learning is going to be a big consideration as we move towards the right. There's a lot of great and interesting things that you can do with machine learning. And Microsoft is expanding the offering there around Azure Machine Learning. And so that's definitely going to be a consideration that you'll want to think about when it comes to that particular part of your design. And then lastly, if you think about, the analytics, there's lots of different ways, some fairly simple. If you just have a feed, can you take that feed and plug it into an Excel spreadsheet? So you're using more out-of-the-box functionality of our productivity software. Or do you want something custom that people can then, have, let's say, website that they can use either on their desktop or on a tablet or on a phone? Do you want to sell data feeds to other customers and such? You build a new business model, and this gets into the service provider model. And again, security and APIs are also considerations if you're looking at expanding into new business models, and obviously thinking about how you secure and provide access to that data or that feed. So again, these are just a small host of design considerations that you have to think about as you build out your architecture for your IoT solution that invariably, in the context of Microsoft, would be deployed on the Microsoft platform. So I wanted to again take a just a little detour here and walk you through a quick ThyssenKrupp elevator demo. Hopefully you'll be able to see my desktop here in just a second. But this is a nice demo that really begins to put into play the ThyssenKrupp elevator scenario. You also will see here that there's predictive main or predictive learning that's built into this as well. And so the scenario here is in my console, and so the client is a web client here, and you can see the URL here that you could also go to and check out yourself. You can see that Bing Maps has a number of different elevator locations. So think of these as buildings with different elevators in them. Some of them are green, some of them are orange, and you can see here there's a legend where we can see operational warning or critical. And this gives us an idea of how can we manage our efficiencies of the elevators within a particular geographical region. Now, it could be that I'm sitting remotely managing the operational efficiencies of my particular region. And so you could get as discreet as I'm an admin in the Seattle area, or I'm an admin in, the East Coast area, yada, yada, yada. And this particular website gives us that level of control. So you can see that we have basically a warning here on Virginia Mason Athletic Center. So we can drill into that and then go ahead and look and see what's going on with the particular Virginia Mason. Now, what we can see here is the fact that we should be able to see. Let me see here. There we go. That there's three elevators. One of them, there's alarm on one of them. And if we begin to look at what's going on here, we can see that there's a contact person, there's an address. We can actually see some visualizations of the particular elevators. And then we can get some information specifically on that particular elevator. Now, again, this could be real time, or it could be kind of queued up and on a regular basis, an hourly or, daily basis, depending on the necessity and the urgency to get that information. And for each of these elevators, whether it's one, two, or three, we can see a specific health. Here we can see that the predicted health And basically what's happening here is there's a predictive model that's sitting behind this that's allowing us to say, look, based on what we're seeing, we predict there will be a problem. And that's built into the IoT solution. Right, it's been there's been a model that's been trained and classified and actually deployed into this kind of behind this IoT solution. And so that's what that basically that orange tile is telling us based on the data that's being collected off of that elevator. And of course, number one is 83%. And so there's obviously a threshold here above which we're not necessarily concerned. Let's say it's 80%. So anything below 80% based on some training model or some model we're seeing as issues. Okay. And of course, there's nice fancy graphs here as well as other information that we can see. So the nice thing is just very simply with this this model that I showed, a little while ago here, if we jump back into the presentation, let me just jump back one slide, and we can see that in the context, and this is a very, very high-level notional architecture, obviously, that data is coming off that elevator. We're moving it through to a client, which in this case was a custom web app, that allows us to do some, measure of operational management. And again, the goal here is to avoid issues. The goal is to get ahead of costs. And really, when you think about managing operational inefficiencies, when you think about managing cost, this is where a lot of these conversations, especially on predictive maintenance, you'll get into the discussion of how do you, save money? How do you get ahead of predictive maintenance? Because it does cost a lot to maintain these large elevators and devices. So that's kind of the end of the first session in terms of getting started. And as a quick recap, we went from, the baseline definition of what IoT is from a Microsoft standpoint, again, snapping to Gartner, provided you with a little bit of information around Azure. My assumption is most of you are familiar with Azure. If not, I'm happy to do a separate session where we drill into Azure more deeply and more technically. And then we kind of ended up talking a bit about design considerations against the Microsoft approach, invariably using ThyssenKrupp here as an example and showing you an elevator demo. And I think there's a great case study and video that we have for ThyssenKrupp, so you can go and take a look at that online. You get lots of information. But I think it's a great case study because everywhere you go in the world, there's elevators. And there's very similar businesses where everywhere you go and everything you do, you'll want to collect data to optimize that process or that product and create new services. So moving on into the second section, I wanted to get a little more discreet around specific scenarios. Because when we talk about designing IoT scenarios, you've got to be designing them for something. And so the question is, what exactly are you designing them for? Specifically, what verticals? I've cherry-picked four to have a quick conversation around, and I'll talk a bit about maybe some of the experiences my team or I have had in and around these different Azure IoT services for these specific verticals as I describe them. Now, the retail is very interesting because or interesting because there's already solutions that are being implemented with interesting technology such as Connect or sensors or connecting to digital shoppers, these types of things, whether it's marketing or in increasing basket size is obviously very, very important when you think about retail and getting shoppers into the store, getting them to convert is very, very important. Also, understanding who the shopper is very, very important. So all of these lend themselves well to trying to increase the basket size or increase the sale within the context of retail. And so here you can see that there's either innovation built into machines or digital promotions or shelving units within the context of the retail store. You might think about efficiencies in terms of supply chain and logistics. So, how do I get automated inventory sensors to tell me that the shelf is empty and have a message that automatically goes to our supplier such that they can automatically bring it? In a very discreet way, it's understanding when your own fridge is empty and then a little, notification on your phone to say, go get some milk. A very similar model, but on a grander scale and in the context of retail. And of course, there's new service provider models when you think about retail. If you think about connecting up manufacturing with retail and marketing, there's a whole kind of new set of services that can be applied. If you think about having the ability to understand, planograms in the context of retail and what inventory sits there, so you don't have to go and chase down products. You can have a relationship with an actual physical store to understand what inventory is there to increase the ability for you to go and get a particular product. Right? That saves you time. It saves you running around, those sorts of things. And we're seeing a lot of these types of goals and scenarios in the context of retail for customers to really begin to transform what retail really means. Another interesting place we're seeing is public sector. Now, public sector is obviously very broad. And even if you talk about transportation, that actually cuts across both public and private. But subway management is a very, very interesting, interesting scenario from the context of predictive maintenance. Again, that's a very important scenario. We have a number of customers where we're working in this space to help them really think about how can they improve the efficiencies of not only the people or the actual physical transportation vehicles, whether it's bus or train or subway system, whatever, but it's also the experiences of the people on those buses or trains. And there we're getting into an interesting area of how do we redefine the experience within the operational efficiency? And so the whole conversations within the space of, transportation is taking us to, a fairly different space. Again, it's a transportation company, not just being a transportation company, but maybe they're providing markets for people as they're traveling on a train 2 hours a day. How do I connect with friends? How do I bring events that are happening in the city in the context of me sitting into a, in my chair here trying to get into the city? And so it becomes this, bridging of potentially disconnected worlds that may not have been connected before into a place where you have this new experience. And again, this new experience is laid against the idea of operational efficiency. So there's lots of baseline mechanical efficiencies that you can actually build into public transport. An interesting one in the context of subway is we're working with a couple of different companies here around operational efficiencies in subway, because it's very expensive to take a subway car off of out of service to then go through to see if there's any issues with that particular subway car. So that's some interesting scenarios there. Now there is a demo here, so let me just jump really quickly back to my desktop and walk through the Underground Manager. Now this is a nice, again, kind of Windows 8 app that shows you how, again, you can take data coming from multiple places in the context of your subway system and then rationalize that into a workflow. So again, if we look at this particular application, there's information coming off of the device, much like we had the elevator. Here we have the subway system. We can see that there's different things that we can, metadata around the particular subway system. But specifically, what we want here is we can see that if we look at particular lines within the subway, we may find that within these lines there are issues that may need to be fixed. And this is coming off of that data that's basically being collected all the time. Here we can see that in the station summary for Notting Hill Gate, there's temperature, noise, there's some alerts based on kind of any calculations or issues that we're seeing from this data. You can actually see as you look at the layout of the actual subway that you can click on something and then get additional information about that particular part of the subway system. You can also see that there's videos and media that you can apply. Let's say in a given time we see a high level alarm, you can collect data and automatically associate that with that particular part of the subway system. Here you can see that we've got some workflow that we can then build into the monitoring system and the maintenance personnel that support that subway system. And so you can get details when it occurred. You can get it on the exact location. You can see that this is critical. You can get some graphical state. And of course, here you get even more information as well from severity and onwards. I can go ahead and create a ticket at this point to kick off a workflow. And here I can fill this in. And many of us have filled in a form, so I'm not going to go ahead and try and fill in a form. But the point is, here's where you see the translation of data coming through for a particular scenario that allows us to very quickly deploy a maintenance personnel to go ahead and fix that problem. Now, again, when you think about, the issues, let's just go ahead and get back into the presentation. When you think about different types of issues that you might have in the context of operational efficiencies, there's lots of different models that emerge from those operational efficiencies or inefficiencies. Whether it's I want to optimize the deployment of my service personnel to fix a particular problem such that they get there before the problem is even a major problem, because what happens is in a lot of these industries, maybe recognizing that a problem exists could be too late, and it could be more costly than if you got there, a day before when you were seeing some of the issues begin, where you could get that information from predictive models. And so there's a lot of cost tied up in trying to get ahead of those issues. Another scenario is healthcare, and this is really, really interesting. You think about some of the common problems, and there's major, major global implications for healthcare. I mean, in the US, we have enough healthcare issues, and we're seeing very, very interesting innovations. So, for example, the other day I read about this small cancer detection device called Miraculous. And basically, what this means is, if you take a blood sample and you put the blood sample into the bottom of this, small device, this tray effectively, it can detect what cancer you have within 60 minutes. And it's obviously a small range of cancers, it's not fully comprehensive. But the point is, this is a device that's just really flipped the bit on how we detect cancer in the context of a healthcare industry that spends, millions of dollars doing this, where there's time delays to get that to people. Not only that, but depending on if you look at different countries, if you go to China, there's major bureaucratic inefficiencies in the way in which you manage healthcare. People are kind of kicked around. I don't mean that literally. They're kicked around the system. If you go to a hospital and you have a problem, you go through a battery of tests. They say, well, we don't know, go to this place. They'll go over there, go to the same battery of tests. So there's redundancy that's replete within the system. And so how do you avoid some of these healthcare issues that cost you money, that cost you time, that are incredibly frustrating for people to have to go through? And so this is anywhere from improving the in patient experience to share data. It could result from the fitness. I mean, the industry right now is going crazy with collecting fitness data, and whether it's Microsoft Band or other types of devices, smart devices that we wear to collect that data, there's all sorts of ways to tie this together to have a much more seamless experience when you're going and engaging in a healthcare environment. And there's many, many costly scenarios in the world today, whether it's elderly care, whether it's in-hospital care, whether it's research. All of these areas, if you look at a common data collection pool that could be obfuscated, you could optimize a lot of these industries and flip them overnight to be completely different, which is when you think about this miraculous device, that's effectively what it's doing to the detection of cancer. So lots of interesting scenarios there. From a manufacturing perspective, again, you get into operational efficiencies. And so we're seeing a lot of predictive maintenance. We're seeing a lot of, sensors that are on assembly lines. How do you get ahead of something breaking down, and so on and so forth. So, four areas effectively, ranging from transportation to retail to healthcare to manufacturing, that are all creating fairly significant ripples in multiple verticals and multiple industries. And again, this is not just from a technological standpoint. This is from a business model. And it's getting customers to think in really different ways. A classic example is how GE actually sells their plane engines. Instead of selling the actual plane engine, they sell thrust per hour. And so these are different business models where, customers are actually paying for thrust per hour as opposed to the actual physical product. And so you're seeing a lot of this, which is very, very interesting in the context of these solutions. So, again, just as a quick recap, we talked about getting started, provided some foundation for IoT, definitionally. We talked a bit about Azure. We talked a bit about some notional architectures. I've rolled through four scenario areas where we've addressed a couple of demos and we've talked a bit about some of the potential of those scenarios and those verticals. I wanted to get more specific about Azure here and kind of bring back the design and architecture into play as we close this session out. So there's a number of different cloud technologies when we think about IoT. And I don't want you to think that the expectation of Microsoft is for everybody just to piece these together themselves. As the platform evolves, we will evolve into a place where there are services that cater very quickly to getting an IoT solution up and running, or they could be more complex, like anything, solutions where you have custom code and services that you build to very specifically address a problem that may be esoteric. Okay? But the point is, irrespective of how you look at your IoT scenario, Microsoft has one of the most comprehensive platform stories out there to deal with these scenarios. And when I say that, we have the technology on premises, we have the cloud technology, we have the devices, we have all of the services that run in between to allow you to build out a very, very robust and persistent solution that runs across on many different services. So here you can see that Microsoft Cloud Technologies, again, in the context of event ingestion, storage, transformation, and presentation, there's multiple pieces of this pie that you can actually bring together. From the left-hand side, again, is devices. As you move across, there's different service buses that you can use. There's different storage mechanisms that you can use. If you need to transform that data, then you've obviously got some ways to get it, whether it's unstructured or structured. And of course, there's ways to present that data in different ways. Now the question then becomes, if I try and take that in a particular scenario, how does that trace a path? And here what we've got is vehicle data that goes to the event hub. And think of the event hub as kind of a slimmed down version of the service bus that is enhanced for performance. So it takes it and transacts very, very quickly messages across the service bus into Document DP, into DB, into HD Insight, and ultimately into an Azure website, right? You can certainly go ahead and begin to implement this particular path through the cloud technologies. You could choose other paths as well, but this is one path. Now, from an example architecture perspective, what would that look like? Here you could say that on the left-hand side, here's our truck, and it could be that or other devices. You can see that what we've designed here is a cell connection off of that truck, so wireless connection that every so often pushes data off of that truck. And in the context of the protocol, not to get too detailed, but here we decided let's use AMQP. That's a fairly pervasive standard. The platform supports multiple standards, whether it's AMQP, whether it's HTTP or other. But the point is, you have multiple platform protocols that you can use. Here we've got a gateway server that takes that one directional signal, brings it in, and then pushes it into the cloud where we've got multiple pieces working together to manage that message or store it. And of course, you can optionally build feeds that you can then surface into third-party apps. You could sell that data. Again, in the context of, building new business models, you could sell that data. You could move that data into a client, whether it's a phone on a responsive web page, or you could again make that data available so people could build their own sites. And so a very high-level architecture again, but gets you down to now using the platform components against that data that's coming off of that device. Now, this is a real-world scenario, and we obviously have much more detailed patterns against this scenario. We've done this with a number of vehicle and car companies where we're pulling data off of those cars and devices, and there's very interesting problems along the way. And again, you find yourself revisiting those design considerations. What's the gateway that we have to use? What's the connectivity that we have to get that data off of that vehicle or device into our quote-unquote pipeline, our service bus? How do we secure it along the way to make sure that no one can hack into it, no one can understand that data they just took it and looked at it? And then how do we piece it back together on the client to make sure that it's rational, that, a business analyst can look at this with some degree of, rationalization and say, okay, I understand now what I need to do. Okay. So again, fairly high level, but an example architect that begins to put the Azure platform a little more into play when you think about this IoT solution. And of course, it's not just about Azure here as well. There could be other parts of other platforms that we, integrate into this architecture. And if we were to spend more time going to the 300 or 400 level, we could certainly add other components into this architecture. So one thing I wanted to do was show an interesting little demo. And what I'll do is log into another machine here. This is a demo that actually is a little more code-centric, but was built by one of our consultants in the field. And it's a great little demo here to show. Let me get this thing started to show how we're basically pulling vehicle data. And you're going to see a nice array of console apps. So it's not necessarily the prettiest of applications, but basically what we've got here is we've got an event hub, which is our service bus, and there's data from a fictional vehicle being published across that service bus. And what's happening then is this data is going to be collected. Now, the thing that we're doing here is we're showing that, okay, we have a publisher of data and we have a consumer of data. And so here, let's go ahead and move this over here. We've created the event hub. We're publishing events to the event hub, and now we're going to wait for the listener here to start pulling those event hub messages off the event hub and transacting them. And there you go. Now you can see lots of messages coming off of an event hub. Now, this is console apps with fictional vehicles driving around in the background. But the point here is, this code is out there today. You can go and kind of work through Nick's blog posts and begin to assemble what is a very interesting demo to show to customers. The fact that you've got different odometer readings, you've got a device number, you've got gauge levels, and et cetera, et cetera. And you could take this and then build a nice little solution around it to show a client UI. And so we do have some custom code out there where you could go down to the level and see how you can build these code samples out using Event Hub with some producers and consumers. So it's just a really quick tip of the hat there. Let me just get back into the presentation here. And if you want to ping me offline, I can certainly send a link, or even what I'll do is I'll put it in the IM window to Nick's blog post. So at least that way you all have it. And so let's keep going here. So we've got about 10 minutes left. And so what I want to do is kind of just close out and give you a chance to ask some questions. I don't think I'll be able to answer all of the questions, but certainly we can try and answer a few. We have a number of customers. Like I said, we have an internal practice where we're out there today driving IoT for a whole number of customers. IoT is evolving very quickly, not only from a solution standpoint, from a scenario standpoint, from a technical standpoint as well. You see the Azure platform really maturing unto itself, as well as integrating with other platform technologies out there as well. You can see here that there are a number of customers that we've worked with to date that we can talk about publicly. And we also have a number of internal customers as well. And so if you're under NDA with Microsoft, you should feel free to reach out to me. And we can certainly get you plugged into some of the internal rhythms that we're managing with other customers where we can talk about their work under NDA. But here's are just a host of a sample rather of different customers we're working with. I think the key question then, as we close down is why Microsoft? From a services perspective, excuse me, my feeling is that I'm seeing us move the needle in the right way. We're bringing together a lot of the core technical and strategic capabilities of Microsoft to really shift the way in which our customers, both existing and new, are thinking and where they're going. We're actually sitting down with customers and talking about how they can generate new business models. Microsoft is shifting as well, and so we can take the lessons that we're learning as we go through our own shift, and help other customers take that shift as well. So it's a very, very interesting time for us. And so as we work with all our customers in IoT, the thing that we come back to is really three grounding thoughts. First of all, the key is that the platform is there to bring this idea of IoT to life. It's absolutely there and getting better and better every day. And we make this real today. And so we have implemented solutions out there today where IoT and Azure are kind of the foundation of that solution. And not only that, but we have this diverse ecosystem. From the services perspective, from the professional services, Microsoft services perspective, I can tell you that there's some very, very intelligent people internally to Microsoft that I have the pleasure to work with and that are working on this problem on a day-to-day basis. And we're seeing it evolve incredibly, which is amazing. We also have partners that we're training and beginning to work with as well out there beyond Microsoft. So there's a great ecosystem, whether it's internal or external. So I think just for those three reasons alone, we see really good reason for Microsoft to be driving this area for customers who are working with us at the same time. And so, kind of in conclusion, I would say there's three things that we're seeing. The Internet of Things is happening now. IT, like I said when I started this session, it really has been around for a while. This is not new conceptually. It's getting more and more evolved. I mean, the core of IoT is to bridge areas that you wouldn't necessarily think were connected and to give you some insight as to how you can do things and provide some action against those new insights. It's about data, it's about semantic connections, it's about modeling, it's about so many different things. And technologically, we have kind of been there in a disconnected way, but we're way more mature now, especially as you look at the Microsoft platform. And so it's not only the IoT is happening now, but we have the technical capabilities and tools and process and expertise to actually implement that technology in a way against the scenarios that we've seen. And so ultimately, I think the invitation here is working together to transform your business with the Internet of Business or the Internet of Your Things. I think there's tremendous potential between Microsoft and both our existing and new customers to drive this forward. Of course, the call to action is get started today. You can contact us. I'll have my email up in just a second, so feel free to reach out to me. For those of you who have account managers in the field, feel free to reach out to them. But certainly, I can help you get started and point you in the right direction if I or services is not the right place to start for you. Certainly, ask us how you can assess how you can get the most out of IoT. So, for example, we have been working with customers where we've sat down and done, 2 and 4 day workshops with their, C-level constituents to help them understand how they can transform their business. It's a big question to wrangle with when you're a manufacturing company trying to become a service provider company. There's a lot of things that have to be done. Anywhere from culturally within a company all the way up to technically and business model wise. So there's a lot of things that have to be done. And so that requires decisions, conversation, discussions, informed discussions, and that takes a little bit of time. And so there is a process there if you're new to this space to evolve. But there are tremendous potentials, as you think about different things that you can do. And of course, we do have a site, internetofyourthings.com, where you can go and explore, what Microsoft is talking about in this space. You could reach out to me offline. There's lots of technical training, as I know that this kind of audience is a balance of business and technology. And so if there's things that you want where you want to get at the code and you want to get the architecture, just reach out to me. That's fine. I can help you get there. And so finally, to recap, my name is Steve Fox. I'm a senior director here in Microsoft Services. This is an amazing time around Microsoft, especially in this IoT area. There's a tremendous amount of momentum and evolution in this space. And I'm personally excited to be a part of IoT, to be a part of this practice, and again, to work with some of the great people I get to work with every day. And so with that, feel free to reach out to me. STEFOX at Microsoft.com is my email address, and I'll get back out to you. Now, what I'll do here to close out maybe for the last couple of minutes is just look through the IM window and see if there's any questions. So if you have any questions that you really want answered, I'll feel free to put them in now. For the people internally for slides, you can reach out to me. I can get you the slides, and there's a whole host of demos that you can use as well. That's for the internal Microsoft folks. For the visualization of elevators going up and down, if they're real time, you could potentially do that. In the demo, it was not real time, but you could absolutely get data that connects such that you are seeing real time data. That obviously, if you think about the design constraints that you put on your architecture at that point, performance requires trade-offs. And so you'll have to think about a highly performant service bus, messaging vehicle, yada, yada, yada. But you could absolutely achieve that if you wanted to get the visualization of those elevators going up and down in real time. Let me see. Before you leave, let us know what you thought. Oh, okay. Isabel, I'm interested about further presentation. Where and when are they available? Isabel, reach out to me. We have some level 3 and 400 materials that I can kind of put together an email for you. If other people are interested, ping me as well. I'll just include you on the mail. But again, there's some great and growing assets on Channel 9. There's some blog posts with downloadable code. And so there's some things to get you started if you're a developer or you're an architect. Amit, do we have a repository for reference material, preview framework, etc., especially? So there's a from my team's perspective, internally, we are sharing IP through Visual Studio Online. So we have code repositories where we're sharing. I think from an external perspective, probably Internet of Your Things is the place to go, internetofyourthings.com. But we absolutely do have internal code repositories. It's not just restricted to ISS. I think it's more broad than that because IoT is way more broad than and just the ISS story. So I would say, Amit, if you want to ping me offline, we can talk more about that. So I'll pause here for 15, 20 seconds and see if there's any other questions. And if not, what we can do is I can hand it back to Chris to kind of close out. And before I do that, let me just again thank you for your time. I realize time is incredibly precious. Again, feel free to reach out to me. This is an incredibly interesting space, and I'm only too happy to answer questions or get engaged. So, Chris, I'll hand it back to you.
Thank you very much, Steve. Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude our session today. Before you do leave, please take a moment to leave us some feedback. Our survey link has just been entered into the chat feature. Your feedback is very important to us, and we do incorporate it into future sessions. I want to thank Steve for presenting today's material, and I want to thank you for attending today's presentation. This does conclude the session. You may now disconnect.